We're not talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KCO. Currently it is 82 degrees. And according to the Gabe gadget up here, it's 83.7 degrees with 37% humidity. The winds are bearable. There's no wind. Anyway, so let's check out my favorite time to check out, see who's the hottest in our neighborhood. And oh, whoa, it's not Altus today, huh? Anyway, 86 degrees in Hollis and 86 degrees in Eric. They are our hot ones. Well, in Shamrock's 86, Wheeler's 85, Cheyenne's 82, Camargo's 85, Arnett, home of the famous cattle lady, Lori Campbell, 84 degrees, and down at Altus, they're at 85, Tipton's 85, and Mangum, 86 degrees there in Greer County. So anyway, it's pretty warm out there, and the forecast does not look very good from here on out. Before I get into the grain futures and cash grain prices and what's happening in our world, I will tell you guys, I'll admit it on the radio today, I am in 7 days of confinement on Facebook, and I'll tell you why. I'm very vocal about this, and if you're offended by it, I'm sorry, but it is just the way it is. There's excuses out there, and there's somebody tears something up, but when you're not checking your water, like I talk about on the show, that's not an excuse. Cow, bull, calves tearing the water line up, or electricity going out, or something happened, that's one thing. But yesterday there was a post on social media where a gentleman asked a question on one of the pages: has anybody ever sued their landlord for closing a gate at the lots where their cows couldn't get to the water? Now that question caught my attention, of course, and it kind of got me boiling because I'm, anyway. And so I got on there to read some of the comments, and then I posted mine, and a few minutes later I was in Facebook jail. And my comment was, you know, first of all, sue your landlord. What kind of question is that to ask on social media? First thing. And why don't you go talk to your landlord? And then the next thing was got my attention is, all right, even if the landlord would have shut the gate yesterday or the day before, cattle can go a day or two without water. Not much more, but a day or two without water. So it showed to me that this guy that's taking care of his cattle, wanting to sue his landlord, hadn't been checking his water. So, and you guys all know that when it's hot, this is Western Oklahoma and Eastern Texas Panhandle, when it's hot, water is very important to cattle. And they drink a lot of water, anywhere from 30 to 50 gallons per head per day. That's a lot of water. So anyway, my comment was, first, your landlord needs his butt kicked. Second, if he did that. Second, I hope you don't take this wrong, but it doesn't sound like you're checking your water often enough if a cow did die because of water. And I said if that cow died because of water. So anyway, I'm in Facebook jail, and that's the reason why. And my wife thinks I should have been a little more diplomatic in the way I said it, but it was the God's honest truth. So that's why I'm in Facebook jail, and my boss is in here just smiling. Oh boy, here we go. So anyway, yeah, what's up, boss?
Hey, Jimmy, I just seen, it looks like you're in jail, but you're still doing the show today, so you're not in KCO jail. You say whatever you want, Jimmy. You're wide open here, buddy.
I know, I just did.
KECO. Is that, what was your opinion? I read some of that. What was your opinion again? I'm sorry, I just missed. I was in my office.
I said that first, his landlord, if he did shut the gate and not undo it, and that's where the water was, needed his butt kicked.
So what was the, why is Facebook, what is the reason for kicking you into jail? What was their specific reason?
Because I was inciting violence by telling somebody that they needed their butt kicked.
Yeah, you probably didn't say it like that.
No, I said it exactly. I got
that's
it right
okay.
Here.
I believe you. I read it, but it was all marked out.
Yeah.
I had a bunch of black marks all over.
There was no cuss words in there.
Oh, come
there
on.
There was not. I don't cuss.
I played golf with you.
I'm surprised I'm still working here.
I've played whack crap with you. No, I think you make a good point, and I believe there's probably people that agree with you. But
oh, no,
Facebook,
there was plenty of people in there that said it was the truth, and it's the way it
is. Yeah,
it
is the truth, yeah. But I think that, you know, Facebook's going to go ahead and trim it down as far as they can.
Here was a question. I'm reading it. I took a picture of it. Anyone ever sued a landowner you're leasing land off of, and they shut the gates to the lots, and one of your animals die from no water? That was the question. Well, mm-hmm. That caught my attention. Number one, it didn't sound like this guy was checking his water long enough. And he don't give no names, and I'm not going to give any. It doesn't matter. And then my reply was, your landlord needs his butt kicked for animal cruelty. Don't take this wrong, but you should have been checking your cattle more often if one did die, from lack of water. So that means if a cow did die from lack of water, that cow didn't have any access to water for at least 2 to 3 days.
You're saying the blame is on both.
Yeah.
One, the landowner shouldn't have closed the gate.
Right.
Right? Two, you should have been checking your cattle more.
That's exactly what I said.
So you disagree with the whole thing.
Yeah, pretty much. It's a bad deal when you got animal cruelty going on. Because
yeah.
That is animal cruelty. The landlord, maybe come find out it was an 88-year-old lady, and maybe she didn't know she shut the gate.
Yeah.
But still, back to point number two. Cowboy over there should have been checking his cattle. So, anyway, I stand by it, and if you're offended from it, I'm sorry.
And if you're offended from it, you'll be unoffended in for 6 days now, because Jimmy's in jail for 6 days.
Six more days
in
my
jail.
My first response on text message is, Jimmy, your herd says you do cuss.
Hey, Jimmy, since he's been on this show for a little over a year now, he's been in jail three times. Three times since he's worked here.
That doesn't count the ones before I come to
yeah,
work
that's
here.
True. Anyway, keep up good work, bud.
Thank you. I don't get the boss in here every day, but anyway, he's in here. Well, all right, let's go on beyond that. Let's check out some markets real quick. And let me update it, please. There we go. On the futures market, corn, July, 774. September, 666. December, 655. Soybeans, July, 1681. August, 1569, September 1492, November is 1475. Soybean meal, $461 per short ton on July. August is 425.90. September is 409.50. Soybean oil, 71.94 cents per pound for July. August is 69.63. September is 68.30. Wheat, July 9/17, and that's the wrong wheat. That's wheat. I want hard red winter wheat. There we go. July 9/85, September 9/91. Oats are for July are 6/43, and for some reason, maybe a misprint, but I doubt it. Oats for September is at 5/14 a bushel. Well, let's check out some cash grain prices in the Oklahoma and Texas area. Hard red winter wheat today. Cash price is $9.24. Corn is $8.34. Milo is $7.62. And soybeans are $15.54. And I missed cotton on the other page. Let's see what's going on with cotton. Whoop, I went too far. Put the brakes on. Get back over here. One more, and there we go. All right. Cotton. October is $1.01 a pound, and December is already down to 93 cents a pound on the futures. And there we go. And sugar, can't miss sugar. Sugar just hanging in there about 18 and a half cents a pound for the boys over there at Delhi. Well, when I get back, we'll discuss what's going on in the world, agriculture-wise, and do some livestock. We got Woodward had a huge sale yesterday. Hobart Stockyards is having theirs right now. And also, pass this along, Hobart Stockyard will be open next Wednesday, but he will be closed Monday. Rexy called me yesterday, and he's let me know that he will start taking cattle early Tuesday morning, but don't plan on coming Monday. So anyway, just letting you guys, that's FYI. Well, when I get back, we'll discuss all the things I just said. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle chute or hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
I knew I was probably going to try to get a hold of Mickey, and I had been shopping and had the prices. So I had shopped previously before Mickey showed up at the office, and I told him that. And he understood, and he said he wanted to give it a shot. And so he did, and his prices were right. And his coverage was as good or better than what I was, some of the stuff I was shopping. And so that was an easy decision for me because I'd already done the legwork on the other end, but I had been to their places. He shows up at my barn. And so when he was even a little bit cheaper on some stuff the same, it was an easy decision for me because you got a guy there wanting your business. My name's Bandy Silk. My family and I farm and ranch in the Delhi community. I'm a fifth-generation farmer and rancher. I'm glad I've contacted Mickey Lively for my insurance needs.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
We strive in our cow herd for high efficiency cattle. We want lots of gain with low input. That's what we strive for. We want our customers to be able to wean the biggest calf without putting much money into that. We try to prove that through our commercial herd, and then if they prove themselves there, then we make them registered, and we chase those bloodlines. Lori White, B&L Red Angus, blredangus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
Today in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
86 degrees, heat index is at 85. The winds are now out of the south, about 9 miles an hour. The humidity is 35, and if you guys had any hay to bale this morning, it was a good morning. Humidity at when I got here this morning about 6 was 89, and now it's 35. So hopefully if you had hay down, you can get her put up pretty good. All right, let's see what's going on in the ag world. Wheat futures were higher in overnight trading amid slow spring heading into the U.S. and declining conditions for European crops. The U.S. spring wheat crop was only 8% headed at the start of the week, behind the prior five-year average of 34%, and according to the Department of Ag. In North Dakota, the biggest producer of spring varieties in the United States, only 3% was headed as of Sunday, way behind the normal 29%. Each of the top six producers of spring wheat are behind their normal growth pace. Minnesota wheat was only 1% headed versus the usual 47% for this time of the year, according to the USDA. The crop was 59% good or excellent as of Sunday, unchanged from the previous week. but well ahead of the 20% that earned top ratings at the same point last year. In France, 64% of the country's crop was in good or excellent condition last week, down 1 percentage point week to week. The people that researched the agricultural markets in the Black Sea region lowered its Ukraine wheat estimate from 20.7 million metric tons down 1.4 million tons from the previous forecast. The group's corn output forecast was increased by 1.1 million metric tons to 28.1 million due to the higher yields. Wheat for September deliveries rose 16 cents to $9.52 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade, while Kansas City futures gained 16.5 cents to $10.06 a bushel. Soybean futures for November delivery added 7.5 cents to $14.70 a bushel. Soybean meal rose $5.30 to $405.50 a ton. That's a short ton. While soybean oil futures fell 0.11 cents to 66.65 cents a pound. Corn futures for December delivery was up a half a penny to $6.59.75 a bushel. Agriculture production needs to jump 28% in the next decade to ensure there's enough food for everybody in the world, which would be triple the increase in productivity the world has seen in the past 10 years, according to the Food and Agriculture Organization of the United States, the FAO, said in a report today. Unfortunately, global agriculture output is only forecast to grow 1.1% per year during this span, with most of it increased in the lower to middle income countries. Globally, trade in the main agriculture commodities and processed products is projected to grow in line with production over the next decade. However, some regions are expected to export a growing share of their domestic production, while others are foreseen to import a growing share of their total consumption. The price of agriculture products has been rising in the recent years due to increased demand from COVID-19 lockdowns eased and amid the ongoing Russian attacks on Ukraine. Fertilizer markets have also been rolled due to the ongoing war, as Russia is a major producer of fertilizer. In North America, production of agriculture and fish products will continue to expand at a rate at about 11% in the coming decade. While that seems lofty, it is actually a deceleration in growth caused by declining prices in medium term and a strong U.S. dollar. Crop sectors will grow 13% in the next 13 to 14 years, according to this, while livestock and fish output will rise by 7%. Red flag warnings, weather for the United States. Red flag warnings have been issued for the western half of the Nebraska, southern Dakota, and parts of Wyoming, Colorado, and Kansas today amid dry weather, according to the National Weather Service. In central Nebraska, winds will be sustained at 20 to 25 miles an hour with gusts up to 40 miles an hour. Humidity is expected to fall as low as 17%. Any fires that ignite may spread rapidly and exhibit extreme fire behavior. Use extreme caution when engaging in activities that could result in a fire ignition. In northern Colorado and northwestern Kansas, winds will gust up to over 30 miles an hour with the humidity being as low as 12%. Strong winds are expected today in southern Wisconsin with gusts up to 40 miles an hour, but they'll have some thunderstorms pop up with that today through Friday. All right, let's check out some livestock stuff here. Get back to it, and here we go. Futures market on live cattle, June is 136, it's up a little bit. August is 132.22, and it's down slightly. October's down slightly at 138.90, and December's down about 0.72 at 144.52. Feeder cattle, August 170.62, September 173.60, both those down over 1 point. Lean hogs, July 109.47, Lean hogs for August, 103.65, and October is 90.82. Well, yesterday at Hobart, 1,641 head sold at the Woodward Livestock Auction. Looks like there was 511 feeder cattle, 1,006 slaughter cattle, and about 124 head for replacement cattle. Let's just check some of the prices out real quick. Breaker cows. One bunch of breaker cows, 29 head, weighed anywhere from 1,364 to 1,700 pounds, with average weight being 1,480, sold anywhere from 85 to 89 cents. And then they had some that weighed 1,435, brought 93 cents, and some that was average weight anywhere from 1,415 to 1,985. Average 1646 on the weight, brought up to 85 cents. On the boner cows, a lot of boner cows in there yesterday, and lean cows. 201 head of boner cows, weighing anywhere from 1,060 to 1,460, with average weight 1,257, brought up to 85 cents. 69 head that average weight was 1,322, brought up to almost 90 cents. 89.50 to be exact, and then a big bunch of 114 head, average weight was 1261, averaged anywhere from 75 bucks to 81.50. On the lean cows, 181 head, average weight 1152, brought anywhere from 76 to 82, with the it looks like average price was 79.65. And then another big bunch here, 57 head, average weight 1,086, brought 73.59. And then way down here at the bottom, some that weighed 971 to 1,250, bringing up to $76. On the bulls, lots of bulls yesterday. 23 head, that average weight was 1,596, brought up to $1.11. 25 head, that average weight was 1870, with some of them up in the 2300 pound range, brought up to $1.18. And then they had some that averaged 1620, brought up to $95. On the bred cows, medium and large number ones, 2 to 4 year olds were bringing over 900 a head, and then they had some 2 to 4 year olds that were they weighed 1395, brought 1400 bucks a piece. On cow calf pairs, medium and large number ones with 150 pound calves or less, 2 to 4 year olds was bringing 1524 a head or pair, and 5 to 8 year olds were bringing up to almost 1300. And then on cow calf pairs with medium and large number ones with 150 to 300 pound calves on them, they were bringing anywhere from 1450 to 1700, and they were all in the 2 to 4 year old range. All right, with cow calf pairs with and medium and large number ones with over 300 pound calves on them, they were bringing, there wasn't a whole lot of those, but they were older cows, and they were bringing anywhere from $1,500 to $1,600 a pair. So that was from Woodward yesterday. Great big sale they had up there. And that should be their last one until, I don't know if they're having one Thursday or not. I don't think they are. But anyway, I'll check that on there. Don't quote me on that. I'll check on that here during the break. I know Elk City will not be having their Friday. Hollis will not be having their Saturday. And the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction will not be having theirs on Monday. And during the break, I'll check, see if Woodward's going to be having theirs tomorrow, and if they'll be getting back to their bull and cow sale on Tuesday. I'll check that out for you real quick. So anyway, when we come back, we got more agriculture to talk about. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, June 24th. 1,062 head were sold. 22 head of steers at 279 brought 540. 4 at 441 brought 192. 8 at 501 brought 173. 6 at 543 brought 179. 10 at 631 brought 176. 3 head of heifers at 213 brought 460. 5 at 525 brought 155. 11 at 568 brought 157.50. 8 at 595 brought 150. 30 at 764 brought 149.50. Butcher cows were 25 to 102. butchered bulls brought 82 to 128. Bred cows were 750 to 1200. Pairs brought 825 to 1725. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
I've seen a lot of industries come and go. The ag sector is a basis for Western Oklahoma. We do ag real estate, cattle loans, crop loans, to purchase cows or to purchase stalkers for wheat or grass. We do operating loans for seasonal needs, to buy feed, purchase fertilizer, purchase seed, buy hay and feed for the winter. I'm Monty Carlson, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
Ron Hayes here. Here's what the good folks are saying about SEI Agritech's Livestock Nutrition Center's feed and minerals.
Hello, this is Sean Wyatt. I have a cow-calf operation, and I buy my feed from Kent Watkins at SEI Agritech in Elk City. Kent will provide the best service possible. I highly recommend giving SEI Agritech a call about your feed and minerals.
If you want better feed and better results, visit SEI Agritech in Elk City, your local Livestock Nutrition Center authorized distributor, located on South Randall in Elk City.
The Day in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
Woodward will be having their sale tomorrow, but they will not have no sales next week. How's that? So they're off on vacation next week. So they, if you got cattle feeders that need to go to Woodward, head them on up there. Call Jerry Nine. They are having a sale tomorrow. Well, you know what today is? Today is the Taylor Ranch Happy Cap Hour. Here on Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. Supply chain issues continue to be an obstacle in our everyday lives. Lack of availability of items you need is becoming a regular occurrence. Buying ahead and stocking up is one way to bridge that gap. If you are one that likes to keep your freezer full during these times, Taylor Ranch can help you with that. They have quarter, half, and whole beef available for sale. They develop every animal as if it was going to be served at their own table. Third-party verified, all-natural and hormone-free beef also available. That's Taylor Ranch beef. If you want a quarter, half, three-quarters, whole, you want a couple holes, call Jimmy at 405-609-4662. 405-609-4662, or you can contact me anytime you want here at the station, and I'll give you the number. Because those couple of ribeyes that we had the other night at my house, Monday night to be exact, there was an inch and a half thick. We tried it. I'm going to go over this one more time, how we did it. I'll slow down because I know I do get to talking fast, because I had a guy this morning in Sayre stop me and ask me how I did that again. He didn't catch it all. So took two ribeyes and I seasoned them up with some of Sandy's organic beef seasoning, steak seasoning, and I heated the oven up to 500 degrees. My pellet grill was down. That's the reason why I went this process. Heated the oven up to 500 degrees, heated the pot up, the skillet up to 500 degrees, brought it out on the deal. I had propane fire, fired it up to high, covered the steaks in some soy oil, is what I had on it, and I seared each side for 1.5 minutes exact. I mean, my man, Skinny on sports, Aaron Cout, yeah, he was precise with his directions. Anyway, so I seared each side, 1.5 inches. Then I put them in an aluminum pan and put them in the oven to get medium rare. 6 to 7 minutes. You don't have to flip them, nothing, at 500 degrees. And then to get medium, I left them in there another 5 to 6 minutes. And I got to medium And if you like them medium well, I'd say it takes 7 to 8 minutes, but that's how we did it. And those were two Taylor Ranch ribeyes, and oh my gosh, they were wonderful. Ask Justin Barrick when you run into him how he liked that steak. But anyway, it was great. It was good. It was just good food. But speaking of the Taylor Ranch, Mr. Jesus, if you guys have heard me imitate him on the show, Jesus is Jimmy and Tracy's right-hand man out there. He's a funny guy. I mean, you got to meet him. If you had never met him, he's a really funny guy. But anyway, he's a good person. Anyway, it's his birthday today. I don't know exactly how old he is. I don't know if he lied on Facebook, but it showed 41 years old. But anyway, it doesn't matter. It is his birthday today, and I want to get out a big happy birthday shout out to Mr. Jesus that works out at the Taylor Ranch. And when he did that imitation, I'm going to try to do it again without laughing. When the Berlin fire started, Jimmy was in Stillwater at one of the OSU bull sales, or one of them up there anyway, and he called Jimmy to tell him that the fire was, you know, his way of telling them the fire was coming from Berlin towards the ranch. It was, "Jimmy! Jimmy, smoke too close, smoke too close." So anyway, or too much, smoke too much. So anyway, he made a fan with me. I'm his number one fan here at the radio station. You can count on that. Well, anyway, let's get on with the show. And I have a gardening tip today. And one of the gardening tips that I've been talking about, water and soaker hoses and all this other good stuff, mulch is highly important to a garden as far as I'm concerned. And once you get it tilled up a couple times, even after your plants are coming up, it's time to put down mulch. It's not that hard. Yeah, it takes a couple hours. The garden behind my house that I have, the smaller garden, is probably, see, what is it, 60 by 100? Which is a pretty good sized garden. And after everything gets up, I'm getting ready to start mulching this weekend, actually. Everything's up where I won't cover it up when I'm mulching. But these rains got the weeds up. I got them tilled up. And now I've been watering, some more weeds have come up. So I'll get those tilled up. And then I'll go to mulching, and my weed control should be zero. And I do use my version. I use rye straw. Rye straw is the toughest out there. I'm blessed that I have rye straw at my farm across the river, so I just brought a round bale of it over there, and I just peel it off as I need it, and it goes a long ways. I've used, in 3 years, I've used a bale and a half. I'm getting ready to finish off the half a bale, and it's still just as good as the day I baled it. But give your homegrown vegetables a boost by putting down mulch. A blanket of organic mulch will help regulate soil temperatures, smoother weeds, and conserve moisture, reduce soil erosion, and can reduce the amount of disease organisms that might splash up from the soil. It also makes the garden look nice. And what I like about it, to throw my little 2 cents in with there, that you can walk through there with your sandals on and not have mud squeeze up between your toes. Anyway, shredded leaves, steering away from black walnut, but any other type is good. They need to be shredded if you can. If not, just put them in there and step on them while they're dry, and you can shred them up with your footsteps. And that allows enough air, and then they don't turn into a moldy clump. Pine needles are great, especially if you have a local source. I don't think we got any pine. We got a few pines around here, mainly cedars, and I don't think that would be. The cedars would keep some bugs away, that should be for sure. For some of the larger vegetables, you can use moistened newspaper covered with straw. And give me a second here, and I'm going to look up this deal. If you're ever up in Oklahoma City, and it's on 51st Street. Let me check this out real quick. I'll give you a heads up. This company has a bunch of them. The Leap Coffee Roasters on 44 Northeast 51st Street, they have a abundance of these sacks that their coffee comes in. and their fiber and their natural fiber bags, and they can't get rid of them, and they're free. And you can get 30 or 40 of them. Those natural fiber bags are great to lay down as mulch, and there ain't nothing growing through them. One thing I will suggest that you do on mulching, especially around legumes in your garden, and when I say legumes, I'm talking about beans and peas. Don't get the, like me, I learned a lesson 3 years ago. I used the rye straw, and I put it right up next to the plants. Well, that rye straw actually drew some of the iron out of the ground around the black-eyed peas. And black-eyed peas and peas are very high iron needed. They need iron. And so I just pulled it back about 6 to 8 inches away on each side of the pea rows. And then I got some iron deficiency stuff from Ace Hardware here in Elk City and put back on them, because they were turning yellow and going backwards in a hurry. If you don't think legumes need iron, you're badly mistaken. And put it on there, and within 3 or 4 days they were back to growing and being normal, and I produced a lot of black-eyed peas out of there. Anyway, shredded bark can also be used. She also recommends that larger wood chips be put down in pathways. If you use grass clippings, be sure 6 weeks has passed since weed killers were used on that lawn. Keep that in mind. Whatever you use, make sure that no weed killers have been used in that area, especially with Grazon in the pastures. And so, anyway, when you apply the mulch, it depends on whether you're planting transplants or seed. Transplants, little seedlings, right after you plant them, and you will water them in very well. You can apply 3 inches of mulch, making sure that is not up against the main stem of the plant, just like I learned. Now, with something that you can that you are direct seeding, you probably want to hold off on your mulch. And it's like I did. I waited till they were up. They're 3 or 4 inches tall. Now I'm going. I mulch around my okra also. It just helps so much with weed control. But the main thing is it conserves moisture. And looking at our Long Ranger forecast coming up, I'm telling you guys, it's you need to do something to conserve moisture around your garden. Now, with something, like I said, with direct seeding, you probably want to hold off on the mulch before applying another layer for that seed to go through. We suggest you wait until your seedlings have emerged. Biodegradable mulch material serves the garden again at the end of the season. Chop it up, till it up, add organic matter to the soil if you want, and there you go. So there's your mulching deal. If you got any questions about mulching, you can always text me in here on the KECO Ag text line at 580-225-9697. Hey, I meant to do it yesterday, but I want to welcome the Cattle King Manufacturing and the Hughes Trailer Dealer here in Elk City for sponsoring the show. They're one of my new sponsors. And this week, and thanks Wes Graham and Randy for sponsoring the show. Hope you don't regret it. No, you won't. I'll make sure you guys don't. But I did drive by there yesterday, and when Wes stopped in the office here or in the studio last Friday, he said he had some more trailers on the way, and they looked like there was either 5 or 6 out there, and man, those Hughes trailers look good. Anyway, so welcome to the show, Cattle King Manufacturing and Hughes Trailers of Elk City, Oklahoma, and welcome back Canuckson Irrigation out of Yukon. They're back. I think they just the bill got messed up and they forgot to pay it, and they forgot about the show, and then somebody said, we didn't hear your ad on Jimmy's show. Bam. It was good. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know what happened, but anyway, they're back on as a sponsor of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, and I'm glad to have them back. Anyway, when we get back, I'll have the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast for you in just a minute. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
From sunup till sundown, we know your irrigation equipment needs to be as hardworking as you, because we all know a farmer's job is never done. Valley is your strength in the field. We're the everyman brand. No matter your operational setup, we have the irrigation equipment and technology to move you forward.
Valley products are built to last, easy to operate, and ahead of the curve. Durable, reliable, and built tough. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325 or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
This is Gary Nine, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. First up at Thursday, June the 30th. We're expecting 3,000 cattle. Start the auction at 8 a.m. From Woodward, got 40 steers, 7.5 Decatur, Texas, 80 steers, 5 to 6. They're long wing, by side, 45 heifers, 7 to 8. Gage, we got 121 heifers, 6.5 to 8. Decatur, Texas, 65 steers at 8. Moreland, 29 heifers at 7. Fargo got 47 mixed, 7 to 8. Moreland, 165 heifers, 7.5. By side, 30 mixed at 8. Moreland got 120 steers, 8.5. Freedom, 39 steers, heifers at 8. Moreland, 71 steers, 8.5. Hennessey, 56 steers, heifers, 8 to 9. Moreland, we got 42 heifers at 7, and Gage, 45 heifers at 7. We had a very nice run, cow run on Tuesday, selling 1,640 cows, bulls, and kids. Again, we're expecting 3,000 cattle for this Thursday. We'll start the auction at 8 a.m. sharp. Thanksgiving, Jerry 9, and the Woodward Livestock Auction.
Farmers and ranchers love Hughes trailers. It's heavier steel. They're built better. They're tough. They've got rubber flooring, every kind of amenity that you can think of in a ranch trailer. They're framed in differently so that you're not having crackouts and breaks in the trailer frame. Their tires come 18 ply. Farmers and ranchers love Hughes trailers, and we've got them. The name of our business is Cattle King Manufacturing. We're 2 miles south of the golf course here at Elk City on Highway 6. On Facebook, just search Cattle King Manufacturing.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Every farmer and rancher knows nutrition is key when it comes to getting the best out of every animal. That's why you need feed that's built the reputation on providing the best nutrition possible. iPro Feed's commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the results you deserve. Hobart Farm and Garden is your local iPro Feeds dealer providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. Visit them online at HobartFarmandGarden.com.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
It is 87 degrees. Heat index is at 86. Humidity's at 34. Winds are south, out of the south, 9 miles an hour. Today, sunny, 90 degrees. Tomorrow, hot, 97. Hot Friday, 97. And they keep moving this 20% chance of rain. It was Friday night and Saturday. Then this morning, it was Saturday night and Saturday. Now it's Sunday. Anyway, so Friday night, 71 degrees. Saturday, 94 degrees. Saturday night, 72. Sunday, 95 degrees with a 20% chance of showers. So anyway, they keep moving around. I don't know what's going on. You know how weather prediction is. It's not a science. It's a prediction. Anyway, all right, let's see. We got, I got a question out there. Maybe you guys can help me out. Listener text in wants to know, what do you suggest for grass burrs in the pasture? There's all kinds of things out there, and I would suggest that you get with your local professional, like at one of the co-ops, and our SEI Agritech, get with Kent Watkins down there, or one, if you're from not around here, wherever close to your town. There's certain things you can spray, there's certain things you can't spray, there's some stuff at Atwoods that gets rid of it. Whatever it is, it's usually expensive. It's not hard to do it in the yard, but controlled or prescribed burns do help a lot. So next spring, if we're not in a drought or anything, prescribed burns do help a lot. And we have you got that get a gunny sack. Yeah, whatever. Anyway, yeah, for your yard, you can get by with that, but I'm pretty sure that you're not going to go out there with a gunny sack and either drag it around or pick those grass burrs up. I have grass burrs everywhere on my place. They're totally hard to control. You can do get them, eventually get them, but in my farm fields, I spray them, obviously, when I can, but just getting them all timed right. This year they went from non-existent, and then when it started raining, bam, they were up and had heads on them before you could do anything about it. It's a grass burrs are a bad deal. I still say that with all the science that we have at OSU and Texas A&M and KSU, K-State, that somebody can come out with a stickerless grass burr that will breed with these stickers that we have out here, and eventually they'll go off. I still think that's possible. I don't know, you know, it'd be crazy, but it sounds crazy, but I still think it can be done. And then I hear, and I'll find out more information when I talk to him, because I really want to get this guy on. There's an agronomist from back east here towards Binger that has some a new chemical they've came out with in the last couple of years that says nabs those grass burrs right where it counts. So I'm still working on that, because I'd like for this guy to come on the show and talk about this new chemical for grass burrs. But bear with me, it's been tough to get him to come on because of schedules and stuff, but I'll get him on. Yes, chickens do love to eat grass burrs, but you know, if this guy's got 100 acres, I don't know if he's got enough chickens, but you're right. Chickens do love grass burrs, and I don't know if guineas eat them or not, but guineas will get those ticks. I know that for sure. And so I heard a comment this morning. I've been doing the early morning show with Landry Brewer in the morning, and I went out to check the water on the heifers out there. There was some comments made in there at the round table of intelligence at Hutch's West Side over there that, you know, Jimmy, is there any way that you can talk about chiggers? I said, sure. What do you mean tell you about? What do you mean say about it? I said, well, has anybody ever had chigger bites? When chiggers get on them, do they bite you in the right places? Because he said, I've had chiggers, and they don't always bite in the right place. So is there a thing with chiggers? They're just going to bite wherever they land? I said, I don't know. I'll ask the listening audience and see if they know anything about asking these chiggers to bite in the right places and not the wrong places. So he got into the chiggers the other day. So I mean, you know what happens when you get into the chiggers. It's not a good thing. But there it's if you guys finding a lot of chiggers this year. And so anyway, want to bring up one deal with out here north of Love's in Elk City. You know how I am about 4-H and FFA. Well, the Hammond 4-H and FFA Boosters Association, they have a fireworks stand just north of Love's on Highway 34, headed, guess where, towards Hammond. Anyway, they're 5 to 10 o'clock, and starting Friday, they'll be open from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. So please go by out there and buy some fireworks from the Hammond 4-H and FFA's Booster Club. It helps them do with all these projects. I hear they're talking about growing some vegetables, and they have a shooting team up there, and our Quail Forever actually supports them up there. Great set of people. Make sure you go out there to the Hammond 4-H and FFA Boosters fireworks stand just north of Love's on Highway 34, headed towards none other than the big city of Hammond, Oklahoma. Show your support to your local 4-H and FFA deal. Also, you're going to hear a lot of this from me. The first annual KECO 96.5 Wild Plum Jam 2022 Sayre, Oklahoma Music Festival is going to be happening July 15th, Friday. It's going to be from noon to midnight, and it's at the Sayre City Park. Man, there's big trees around there. It's just going to be a gorgeous music festival. It's sponsored by the Sarah Chamber of Commerce and brought to you by Hutch's C-Stores, headquartered right here in the big town of Elk City, Oklahoma. Stoney LaRue, Tyler Wilhelm, Michael Martin Murphy, Joe Merrick, Even Money, Ragland, food trucks, vendors, adult beverages, free swimming. Bring the kids. It's $50 a person, and any kid under 12 with adult will be free. Bring the kids. Let them go over and swim, and you sit back and just enjoy the great music that's going to be playing that day. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. Get your Wild Plum Jam and homemade biscuits from 5 to 7 p.m. on Friday evening. And this morning, I brought Landry. Landry Brewer totally disappointed me. There's no way that kid grew up around here and did not have no Wild Plum Jam. Well, I brought him a bottle this morning, so we'll see how he reacts to Wild Plum Jam. Anyway, you can purchase any of these tickets at Hutch's C-Store's locations, or you can purchase online at sarahchamber.org or at the gate. Only the tickets bought at the Hutch's C-Store will be entered in the first annual Sweet and Juicy Sweepstakes, cash and prizes given away all afternoon, and you must be present to win. Next day, this kid right here is going to be emceeing the Dust Bowl Festivals Parade coming through Sayre last year. I don't know how long it was. It was long. There was old tractors, new combines, new sprayers, people. Frank Lucas was there. Secretary of Agriculture was there. There's lots of stuff lined up for this year. So that weekend, the 15th, 16th, and 17th, you definitely want to be in Sayre, Oklahoma for the music festival, the Wild Plum Jam. Our own Drew Cobb will be emceeing that. And then the next day, got the parade and all the activities going at the park, vendors. I think some of the people from the Hometown Museum here in Elk City will be over there with their setups over there and doing blacksmithing, I think. I'm not sure on that. They were there last year, and it was pretty cool. So anyway, lots going on in the world of agriculture, and that's going to be a great time. So anyway, we got some text messages in. Here we go. Absorbing JR for Chiggers. All right. Use Absorbing JR for Chiggers. Lieutenant Edwards. Please, what? Pastora is supposedly safe for livestock and kills grass birds. Hope you're still listening. Thank you, Lieutenant James. Always check your labels when using chemicals. But best thing is just to talk to the professionals. And but yes, I forgot about Pastora. Anyway, be good. Anyway, there's my music. My show's already over. Well, I'm sorry about my rant earlier about being put in Facebook jail. It happened. I'm Jimmy Clark, so it's the way it is. I thought I was really nice about it. But anyway, it's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO. You guys have a wonderful Wednesday evening, and I'll be on the early morning show in the morning with Landry Brewer. It'll be my last day. Nathan will be back. God bless everybody.
You've got it locked on Western Oklahoma and the Eastern Texas Panhandle's home for today's best country. Number one rated, 96.5 KECO Elk